You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour.
I want my Uber.
On Radio TFI. Good morning, puppies. How is everything today? Are we done celebrating in London and other, quite frankly, all other parts of the world because you feel like the dominoes are going to drop here? Hey, this is the Taxi Stand Hour on Blog. on RadioTFI.com. Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Hey, can I tell you early? You want to get in on this conversation? We'd love to hear from you here. Join us on Skype. Just simply search for Radio TFI on Skype. We want to share in this celebratory moment. It is the first step in eliminating Uber from our very lives here. I should bring in Ed Van Ness into the conversation. How you doing, my friend?
I am. If I was any happier, I'd have to be twins.
Oh, God. Could we actually handle having both of you?
Well, you kind of have to. We are very happy. Because I heard the news yesterday. I was with a group of people, and it went something like this.
Too sweet it was. Now, before we get our happy pants on, this is just...
Oh, might have been on all day.
Yeah.
They're sitting on the chair next to me. I don't actually wear pants during the broadcast, but...
Oh, you just lost what last two listeners we had.
That was my aim. Next was shouting fire.
Oh. But, no, we got to remember, this is just the fact that London TFL did not renew the operating permit or license or whatever they called it for Uber to continue. This doesn't mean that they are completely wiped off the planet just yet. It means that first off, they can operate until the end of the month, as I understand it. Secondly, they have 21 days to appeal. So this is going to be a process, nothing like the process when they burst on the scene. They burst on illegally, and they started. I think, quite frankly, they owe us 3 weeks, and they should just disappear. Be brutally honest, but I don't think I'm going to get my way on that one. What do you think?
Probably not. Now, from what I read something this morning that said TFL normally will send out a letter and basically letting a company know their license is not going to be renewed, mm-hmm, 4 months out. So in other words, Uber has had 4 months. It's just that TFL just announced this. So
Uber's known it all along. And
I believe so. That's my interpretation of what I read, is that they've known all along, and only now when TFL makes an announcement and the mayor of London actually put an official press release out there, citing all the reasons why. And I won't take credit for these remarks, but I've seen it all over Twitter. Any number of people have said, you know, Uber, why don't you just fix the problems instead of, you know, it's always interesting that Uber now wants to use the court system to get their way when they're so, so fond of flouting the laws. But hey, to all the guys in London, you follow these, I've said it before, you follow our boys over in London, and they have been relentless as far as documenting the bad driving. My favorite is driving upstairs. I will never, never get over that.
Oh, yes.
And,
well,
all the other things that they've had to do, and all the documentation, and all the raping, and all that good stuff, and now Uber is going to sit there and go, what? I've got work going on outside the apartment here. Uber's going to go on about how, oh, we're losing 40,000 jobs. Really? Really? Apparently there's lots of private hire minicab services there in London that can hire these guys in a heartbeat. And what jobs? You've always claimed you're not an employer. You don't employ people. And what about the driverless cars? You're going to boot these guys out anyway. So please, oh, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo, look at us.
Exactly.
You know, we're a pillar of the community. Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please. And not to mention the Metropolitan Police there in good old London have pretty much had enough, from what I understand, of Uber's sketchy way of reporting crimes. Apparently what they would do is report serious infractions to TfL, and because of the bureaucratic process, it would take sometimes months before the police would get their hands on this information. And, you know, they were just hiding all this stuff. You know, look, it's, as I, it's the first branch
first
of the
step.
Tree that's, yep, it's first not step. The end, but it's a damn good start.
Yes, it is. Let me share this real quick. This is from a MP in London. His name is Wes Streeting, I believe it is. Let me share his statement on.
Today, Transport for London have taken what I think is a courageous decision not to reissue Uber with their license to operate minicabs in London, sending a powerful message that whether you're a taxi driver or run a small minicab office or a big multinational corporation like Uber, you're expected to abide by the same rules and regulations as everyone else, and you're expected to put passenger safety at the heart of your business. And Uber have failed on those counts, not just in terms of the regulatory failures identified by TfL, but also the damning criticism they've received from the Metropolitan Police about the way in which Uber have handled serious allegations of rape and sexual assault in their vehicles. And for those reasons, I don't believe Transport for London had any choice but to take the decision that they took today, and I think it's one that we should all welcome. Of course, criticism of Uber goes well beyond the issues looked at by TfL today, because what I see is a business model that's based on driving down pay terms and conditions for Uber drivers, that's based on saturating the market to drive out competition so that in the future, surge prices become the new normal and Uber customers look back on the low fares of today as the good old days, and also not paying their fair share of taxes in countries in which they're raking in their profits, like the UK, where in fact most of their taxes are paid just across the channel in the Netherlands. And I think these are things that should trouble us all, because if there's one thing that recent elections and referenda in Britain, Europe and North America shows, is the indifference towards the excesses of globalisation and the excesses of multinational corporations that have left people feeling resentful and left behind. And if politicians, particularly those on the left, are indifferent to these practices, then we are guilty of reaping the consequences that we are seeing with some of the disastrous political trends that we're currently seeing across Western democracies. And so, for all of those reasons, for ensuring that we have fair competition and passenger safety at the heart of our transport system here in London, but also making sure that we're fairly and effectively regulating multinational corporations so that they not only provide good prices for customers but fair conditions for workers, I think all of us should be concerned about what's happening to Uber. And if you're an Uber customer who's unhappy about this decision today, it's no use blaming me or the regulators. I'd click reply to that email you received from Uber today in the Netherlands and tell them that they need to clean up their act so that they're a fit and proper operator once again, and that we have a taxi and private hire industry that genuinely works in the interests of all Londoners.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Amen is right.
Oh.
I think that,
go ahead.
That needs to be put on a plaque somewhere, and everybody needs to read or see that. That surmises everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. That man just nailed it brilliantly. And the Uber customers out there that are going to blame in London, you know, a parliament or whoever, whatever the governing body is, however that works, they have to turn around and look at Uber.
You should have heard the
that have created the issue.
You should have heard the feedback that that he got, that the mayor of London got, that TfL got. You know, there are a lot of people, mostly whiny little millennials is the one that I featured there at the beginning of the show, who are just bastardizing this decision. You know, oh, you sent us back into the dark ages.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to get back and forth to, oh, you know, and I've never been to London. I don't know how good their public transportation system is there. I would seem to think it's pretty damn good. It might not be as good as getting limousine service at the price of bus fare, but it's God. It reminds me of getting hooked on crack or something like that.
It's interesting you should say that, because somebody put a tweet out that said, you know, look, this is just like your Coke dealer getting busted. It was good while it lasted, but, you know, hey, yeah. He was breaking the law. You were breaking the law. So, you know, hey, that's it. It's done. It's over. Let's move on.
Yes.
Now, what Uber's doing right now over in the UK, they've got their army of Twitter bots out, and they're sending emails out. And, of course, you know Uber is going to play the victim here. Oh, my goodness. We're a pillar of the community. Apparently, London does not like innovation. And we thought they were a digital city. And we thought, blah, blah. You full of crap. You came in. I have the conversation every day since I have to deal with this dreck. And I had a young man yesterday in my van. And he started with, oh, I like your van, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, that's very nice. Thank you. He says, it's been those smelly yellow cabs I used to ride in.
Ooh.
Really? Really? And he made an absolute statement. He says, every time I got in a cab, it was a Haitian driver who didn't speak English. The cab was filthy and it smelled. I said, every time? He says, well, yeah, just about. I said, every time? You think they're all like that? Well, they have to be. Really? I said, what would you think if I told you that you're in a former yellow cab? Well, this is too nice. Well, I used to have 12 of them just like it. Well, you're different. You bet your ass I was different. It's this, let's lump everybody. I said, you're spouting the same party line that everybody who doesn't want to spend the money is spouting.
Absolutely.
He goes on to tell me, things were a little shaky there, but we started getting along and, you know, we had a conversation. And he told me about him and his brother coming out of the airport, and they got in a cab. And it was a short ride. He told me where they were going, not far. And apparently the guy, instead of just taking the local streets, about a 5-minute ride from the airport, the guy looped around onto the interstate and all that. And the way him, I said, well, did you make a complaint about it? He says, well, we didn't tip him. I said, he screwed you out of about 15 bucks on the meter. Well, I didn't want to get involved. It wasn't my ride. I said, what do you mean it wasn't yours? Well, my brother was paying for it. Okay, did your brother complain? No. If you don't complain about the problems, nothing's ever going to get resolved. And this is the problem with most cab customers. They will not pick up the phone and say, hey, I just had a problem with this guy. Some of it's BS. We know that. But, you know, instead of allowing, you know, at least some of the reputable cab companies to get in and fix these problems. But I'm getting off my point. My point is everybody, they all have this, it's the mantra, dirty, smelly cabs, Haitians, rip me off. Everybody spouts that. I hear it the same thing from everybody.
Yeah, it's the same thing here for the Somalis. It's the same.
Right. You know, I'm out there for 30-some years. And yeah, I never took anybody around. So, anyway.
I see you're having audio problems again.
There. Yes, yes. Yeah. So, anyway.
So
you go ahead, John.
No, okay.
I'm trying to fix this.
Oh, my God. Well, anyways, it's the What Ed mentions, it's the same thing up here. You know, you just replace the Haitians with the Somalis. Nobody likes the Somali drivers. Did you ever stop to think, there's 2 points with this. Did you ever stop to think that the Somali drivers, these people, they're not all bad. They, you know, yes, there's some of them that are new in country, and yes, they've got some shit to learn. But, you know, and secondly, by using Uber and or Lyft, you're getting the same people that couldn't cut it in the taxi business. So they decided to buy their own jalopy and put it on as an Uber car or a Lyft car or both. Which brings me to another point here. If there's going to be anything changed in the United States, you can't just you just can't go with working on Uber. You also have to take Lyft into consideration. Because, as I'm going to tell you here, and I'm not reading anything here, I'm just telling you this from something I saw earlier this week that really pissed me off, and it was going to be the headline before London. And this will piss you off, too. I'm sure you've seen it. But a 17-year-old, he wasn't the registered driver.
I know the story.
Yeah, he was driving on his mother's account, and he got into an accident where a 13-year-old passenger was killed. Gotta love that, folks. Used mama's account and killed a 13-year-old girl.
By the way, this is just to interrupt you for a second. I try to point this out to people when they go on about how Uber is safer than taxis. I said, really? I said, I can grab anybody's account, hop in a car, and go to work.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely. Did you check my license plate? Well, no, but it looked like the right car. Do you know how many of these white vans I own? I have more than one.
You know, what's funny about that? They just did. I missed the story. It was local news. I missed the beginning of the story, but they were once again telling people how to ride safe in up here in Minnesota. So I'm not sure what prompted that story. I'm going to have to go on the news channel's website and see where that came from. But people don't care. That was what was nice about taxis. You could see if it was a taxi.
That's right.
You could recognize the cab company. You know, back in the good old days, you only had a couple, maybe 5 or 6 different companies, and you recognized those companies. New York City, every cab has to be white or yellow.
Yellow.
Or green if you're out in the outer boroughs.
Apple green, it's called, actually.
Oh, is it really?
It is.
London, you jump in a black taxi, they are very distinguishable.
Now, hold on. With the black taxis, not only are they very distinguishable, but you have to purchase that specific vehicle.
Yes.
You don't have the option of, I want to put this one on. No. You're going to buy this one. Currently, last I read, they're 55,000 pounds. Now, I'm sure these things last, you know, a
good
long
while. They look like tanks, for Christ's sake.
Right. But, well, they're industry specific. But that's a lot of money that you have to lay out. And then there's insurance, et cetera. Oh, by the way, and every one of those vehicles is wheelchair accessible. Every one of them.
Yes.
There's little ramps that come out. By the way, before we get – look, we're going to come back to London and all that. But I just want to – for our drivers that are listening and folks in the business, hey, kids, this – yes, we're all happy about this. But that doesn't mean you get to – you got to step up your game now. Because if we get this business back, look, people don't want to go back to the same old thing. They will figure out other ways to get around. They've seen that people will do it for less money. So unless you're going to provide a safe, efficient ride, which also includes communicating with your passengers. Yes, some of them are jerks and you don't want to talk to them. They don't want to talk, don't talk. But at least where I am, I strike up a conversation with every customer. Some of them I don't want to talk to, and you know, and the conversation just goes away. But you've got to be proactive. This is very much a customer service business. You're not carting cargo around, okay? It's not the end of the world to clean out the cab at the end of the day. You know, look, you don't have to do it after every ride. You know, just be keep your cab clean, keep it running well, respond to your dispatches no matter what they are. None of us like to do short rides, but guess what? It's a part of the game. Okay?
Exactly.
But as an industry, and if I ever get back into the legitimate taxi industry, you know, I'll step up my game too. I don't think I need to, but I will. And this is what we all need to do. This is what got us in trouble in the first place, was lying back and just collecting. And that goes for the cab companies, the drivers. Look, me personally, I've worked for a lot of years, and I built up my own personal business, which is why I was able to split off, and I'm holding on for the moment. But I also use the cab company dispatch system as a feeder system. That's where I found my personal customers. Mm-hmm. Listen to your customers. Believe me, they will give you tons of information that will make you money. Oh, well, these guys don't know where I live. Nobody can ever find my house. I found your house. Can you come get me the next time? Absolutely. Here mm-hmm. you go. Here's my card. Here's my number. Listen to your customers. Talk to your customers. Treat them like what they are, your customers, for goodness sake. You know. And by the way, if you're one of these nitwits, no matter where you are, look, we've all dozed off behind, sitting in a parking lot or on a cab stand. It happens. But for God's sake, put your shoes on and keep your feet inside the car. Don't hang them out the window.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
If you're sitting on a cab stand, I promise you, if I walk up to your cab and you're sound asleep with your feet out the window, buddy, I ain't riding with you because I know what I'm like when I first wake up, okay? Mm-hmm. I am nowhere close to driving a car. Mm. And that, my friends, was Ed's rant for the week.
That was a beautiful
thing. Our game.
Well said, sir. Well said. Oh, give yourself a hand on that one.
I had Gilchrist behind me, prompting me the whole time.
Yeah, well, you were definitely inspired. So,
yeah, Gilchrist embraced me. I could smell the beer and cigarettes, but he embraced me nonetheless.
One of the things in London, one of the complaints that I've heard often is they don't want to leave the central business area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I am totally unfamiliar with the geographical setup in London. I'm assuming that if they stay, it's like a cab in New York City. If they stay in Manhattan, their odds of making more money are there as opposed to
yes,
as opposed but to I, going out.
To your point, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. But to your point, I believe now they have an app out there that the black cab drivers have established. Taxify, I believe it is. Or Taxi App. I can't recall.
Taxi App, not Taxify, but.
Taxify was something else.
Yes.
But now I don't know what their limitations are on where they can pick up, how far outside of London they can pick up. But now if you have this app, because remember, they were always dependent on hails.
Uh-huh.
They had to be flagged down. So now if you have a method, and this is working in New York City as well, where traditionally it was flagging down. So now if they get out of the central business district, downtown, if you will, now they have the opportunity to work in other parts of London.
Yes.
And that will increase the service and make it better. And, you know, that's where how we progress. That's how we move on. Look, there is business out there for these guys. Now, in the past, it may have been more difficult to get the job because people – picture a suburb. You're going to go stand out on the corner of Main and First Street and hope that a cab comes by? You know, and that's how – and I understand that's how they're looking at it. Mm-hmm. But now with the app, if they were properly promoted, et cetera, and I believe the London guys will be doing the right thing. I think the days of – And I watched Sean Paul Day, a video with him a little while ago. He was sitting with a number of drivers in one of their little driver restaurant houses, which I think are so neat, spread around London. I forget what they call them. And they were joking about that. Oh, I'll hang my vest over the credit card machine. And, you know, drivers have to – that's another thing you have to understand, drivers. This is the rant part two. Paying with a credit or debit card is what happens now, okay? A lot of people, whether they're lying or not, claim they don't carry cash. I think it's baloney, but business travelers, they want to pay by card because it goes directly to the expense account. They don't have to get receipts. They don't have to get anything. It's all mm-hmm. done. So you got to suck it up, Buttercup, okay? all right, you're going to pay a small fee, whether to the company, whatever. But this is part of the customer service. I generated a new customer off of Uber yesterday. We were chit-chatting, taking him to the airport. Turned out he used to ride in a cab with a friend of mine years ago. And we, you know, I told him what, we, you know, unfortunately, she's no longer with us. One of the few females that made an actual career out of driving a taxi here in Fort Lauderdale. She drove for, I don't know, about 22, 23 years. Mm-hmm. So, and he was riding by himself on the XL platform, and we chit-chatted, and he, you know, he said, hey, can you take credit cards? I said, absolutely. Yeah, give me your number. I'll use you now. So, you know, he'll just pay me the XL rate. I get the full fare. And that's how you do it. It's one customer. You make people happy one customer at a time. You don't have to make them your customer every time, but give them a little information about the city. Tell them what you know. You know, talk to them, learn things. There's people that are getting it. Look, if I got in the backseat of your cab in Fort Lauderdale, I can tell you things about this town you have no clue about. Yes. Listen to what I'm saying. You know, it's and okay, that's rant part two.
Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing here.
Is that it?
If you want to shut Ed up, and you're listening live, by the way, get us on the Skype. It's just search for Radio TFI. I wish Skype had a drawable link somewhere. That's only their one downfall. It's a mystery how you can go from Twitter or Facebook and say, click this link, and you're hooked up with Radio TFI.
I hadn't even thought of that.
It's impossible to find. It's totally logical, but it's impossible to find.
Just like this was impossible to do. We couldn't actually talk to each other and see each other, right? You told me that was impossible. Who solves all the problems here at Big Time Professional Radio? That's Radio TFI.
Yes. I think it's me. I think we both do a pretty good job at it, to tell you the truth.
Gauntlet thrown.
Yes, indeed.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, my.
Although I'm still hearing myself.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Big time professional radio.
Yeah, nothing like it.
Oh, I wanted to bring something else up with the London guys here, if I could. You know, Ed made a great point. You have to indeed step up your game there a little bit. I mean, because there are a lot of people who are really pissed and said some derogatory things about London taxis. But now you also wonder if it's not all motivated by price. You know, because I guess people were able to do certain things they could afford to actually get these limousine rides at bus fare rates, and people were liking that, and so it's like a drug withdrawal. If Uber does indeed go away, it's indeed going to be like a withdrawal, and so, you know, for a while the taxi industry in London, if this is the first place that actually does eliminate Uber completely, you know.
Well, it won't be the first.
Well, the first big one.
It's all a list of countries. Yeah, the first big major city like this. But,
you know, people are going to have to, the drivers, the everybody's going to have to step up this game a little bit, because you and I both know that taxi rates, for the most part, while they might be a little on the high side, I've said that before, I think that we could probably afford to give back maybe a quarter or 50 cents per mile. That's my opinion. Not everybody agrees with it. But what you have to do is you have to give these people value for their money. It was working before Uber came along and tried to completely destroy the taxi industry. It was working once. It can work again. But you can't take these people for granted. These are, like you said, customers, and we need to give them value for your money. Get out your ass and help the little old lady or the disabled person with their belongings. Take them to the curb and help out. You know, give these people some value for their money. because I'll guarantee you, had Uber allowed to be continue like it was, you'd have seen wages continue to be driven down for drivers. And don't kid yourself there. Once you eliminate your competition, it's like our friend there, the MP, said, you all of a sudden now Uber, suddenly that $5 Uber ride to go across town will wind up being $10. And you'll think, well, what the hell happened here? Well, Uber came in. What happens all the time when you have a monopoly? You all of a sudden now you have no competition, and your rates are going to double, quadruple. I am telling you, it will happen. We've seen it. In other aspects of life, to tell you the truth. You look at how all the airline mergers, you know, the airlines, you know, there for a while, you could find cheap airfares. But now that there is no America West Airlines, there's no more, what's the other one that just got a, oh, shit. Anyways, once the airlines started merging, there was less competition and fares. Now you get, you're hard pressed to find a deal.
You're hard pressed to find a plane you can get on without spending a ton of dough.
Yeah.
Basically, what most of the airlines are doing now is saying, here's the price. This is for a seat. This is for you, the clothes on your back, and a seat. Mm. Oh, you want to bring luggage? So I'm a firm believer that every airline should allow one bag.
Yeah.
One piece of luggage, and then charge through the nose for anything beyond that.
I agree. Totally.
You know, set your weight limit, because let's face it, we all remember the days of people would move and they would bring every piece of every piece of clothing they owned, 4 or 5 bags. And, you know, that cost in fuel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not opposed to the airlines making a buck. You got to pay for those big planes. They don't come cheap. Yeah. Neither do I, but that's another story for another time. I come easy, but not cheap.
Thank you. You beat me to the punch.
Yeah, well, I've been beaten to that punch for, never mind. Mm. Anyway, but you're right. The fewer companies there are. Now, it's interesting because for many years I've heard people talk about Yellow Cab here in Broward County, and that's the hat I'm wearing, by the way. They gave out really cool hats a couple of years ago. I got 3 of them. A lot of people now, it's the largest cab company in the county, but by far and away not the only one. But yet people would go on and on and on about the Yellow Cab monopoly. How they, there you go. Yes, I've seen your IHEL hat and you got shirts and all that. Yes, you're better than I, John.
Of course.
Unfortunately, the audience doesn't appreciate any of this because we're not on TV.
Yes,
we are right. On radio. So we're doing things right now to amuse ourselves, folks. But anyway, Yellow Cab, many, many people would talk about what a monopoly it was. And I would say to them, do you even know what a monopoly is? Well, they've got all the cabs. No, they don't. Well, except for this company and except for that company. Yes, right there. There. You just disproved that. You know, that's the definition of not a monopoly.
Yes.
We don't have them all. Do we have a lot? Yeah, we do. We got a lot, but we don't got them all. And that's, you know. Look, what the average citizen knows about the taxi business, you could fit in a thimble and still have room for the Chinese army.
Oh, yes.
And that's fine. They're not supposed to.
How many people still think you get paid by the hour? You get paid a living wage, even now with Uber and Lyft, that you get paid a living wage on what you're making?
How many people believe that after every job, you go back to the garage?
Yeah. Yeah, where's your base at?
Yeah. Oh, you're close. Oh, this... But your base is all the way downtown, so you got to go. Yeah, that's right. That's what we do. We drive back. We pass up everything, you know, and it's so no, I don't expect people to understand how we operate, especially internally, as far as how payments are made and how the driver's money is calculated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's I don't care. I don't care how Macy's does their shipping and handling and processing. I don't care. I want to buy a coat. I want to buy a coat. Do you have my coat? Yes. How much is that coat? Thank you. Can I buy that coat? Yes, you may. Here's my money. Thank you. I don't care how the coat got there. It's of no concern of mine.
Well, I agree.
It started out somewhere, and now it's on my back. That's all I need to know.
I agree.
Thank you. That's rant number three. I'm going for the record.
You are on a roll here. No, but in a sense, though, they should know at least something, because here's the thing, especially when it came to Uber and Lyft. People, it's either they know and they don't care, or they don't know.
It's a little bit of, I think it's more of, look, I believe everybody knows that Uber is not exactly kosher, but they're saving money. Take a downtown area. You go to any major city where Uber and Lyft are. Okay, you go to there. You find their entertainment district where all the youngins go, the 20s and the 30s. Now, find out where most of the housing is around there. And you will find that these are the cheapest rides. The drivers are going to clear a couple of dollars. Even the taxi's not going to make any money. But the people are happy. Why? Because, oh, look at me. I'm not drinking and driving. No, you're not taking you're taking a cab or an Uber because it's cheaper than parking. Mm-hmm. That's why you're doing it. We get this downtown. On Friday and Saturday nights, I will not pick up anybody in the downtown vicinity because I know it's not going to be worth it. And then I got to listen to the self-congratulatory, masturbatory stuff of, look at me, I'm not drinking and driving. You're going four fucking blocks, Skippy. You're going four blocks.
You don't want to move your car.
Just admit it.
Maybe I need to go back to night driving for a little while, just as a social experiment.
Oh man, you're a day driving chicken. Let me tell you, the real drivers come out at night. That's when we deal with the drama. Daytime, oh, it's take me to the doctor's office. I got to go to the airport. I'm going to the grocery store. You know what? Come out at night when you got couples fighting, domestic squabbles, drug deals going down, and that's just before I get out of the house. Okay.
Oh, for yeah, you're absolutely right.
You sit there in the daytime and with your little, you can see every nook and cranny of the streets. You can see the street signs. You know where you're going. We got to do it by gut instinct at night, pally boy. Okay? Gut instinct. Sometimes I got to get out and feel around out in front of me to know where I'm going. Oh. You pussies in the daytime. You wouldn't know the first thing about driving a cab if I ran you over. And at night, I just might, because that's the kind of guys we are. You don't have four liquefied 20-something-year-olds getting in the back trying to give you the hardest time of your life, okay? Hey, dude, take us to where the girls are. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, you schmuck. I'm the best you're going to do at this point. If I know where you could go to get laid, I'm not taking you. I'm going myself, you moron.
Exactly. Well, now don't forget, and I have
rant before.
I have driven nights. You know, most of the time when I was living in Vegas, I drove nights. But
tell me, Vegas, everything's lit up. It's like daytime in Vegas. Hotel, including
the passengers are lit up, but that's a different story.
Yeah, take me to the Luxor. Take me to Caesar's. By the way, Caesar's has banned me. Caesar's Palace. I walked in there the very first night in Vegas. First time I was ever in Vegas. I took down Caesar's. I sat at that blackjack table, and I just busted that place down. I walked out of there with, are you ready for this? Two, not one. $200 of their money. I'm a high roller.
Oh yeah.
I know they put my picture up. They didn't tell me, but I know I'm banned from the casino because I won that much.
Oh.
They don't consider me. I surpassed high roller. I'm problem roller. Because they know next time I'm taking the friggin' building. I love Vegas, and the Vegas rant is a whole nother show. That's an entire show for Vegas.
We should have a Vegas show one of these days. You're absolutely right.
I agree with you. Are you ready for a little change of pace?
Well, I was just thinking, we were just talking about Vegas and gambling and all that other happy stuff. Where do you think we should go from there?
Oh, I don't know. How about, if I had to guess, I would say.
There you go.
Football time, kids and kittens. So here we are with Ed's picks. Just so you know, let's recap from last week.
Yeah, let's see how we did last week. I don't even remember.
Well, let's talk about me first, because it is about me. So last week, I went 9-7. That means I won 9 games. I was not right on 7. I don't have my season record with me because I forgot to write it down. But anyway, the important thing is that I'm doing better. I am ahead of the game. So, I'm going to give you my 3 picks for the week.
By the way, how did we both do on those? How did we both do on those?
Hold on there, Skippy. This is for entertainment purposes only. If you choose to take this information and go to your local bookmaker and parlay it into a fortune, don't forget your old Uncle Ed. I'll take my 10%. Now, last week I had young Mr. Shannon pick 3 games as well. Mr. Shannon, you did okay.
I think I did for... Oh, did I do 2-1?
2-1.
Which one did I blow?
I don't know. What you do in your personal times. You blew the Dolphins game. You took the Chargers, giving up 5.5 points, and the Dolphins went into L.A., into that itty-bitty StubHub Stadium, 27,000 seats, and kicked some Charger ass. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. God damn it. Meanwhile, your Vikings pooped the bed. We gave them almost a touchdown. They still couldn't cover it.
Yeah, that was pretty shame. That was pretty bad.
Damn it. So,
of course, we were going with a second-string quarterback, too.
Excuses. So, Ed, we don't need to talk about what Ed did last week. It's irrelevant.
Oh, yeah, sure. How many were you 0-3?
It's irrelevant, and since I have the information, it will remain irrelevant for the moment until it's not irrelevant. So here are the games that I've given John to pick from, and he's going to have to make his choices right here on the spot. I've had all sorts of time to make my picks, and we see how that worked out. Okay, starting out, Green Bay -9 against Cincinnati.
So come on. The Packers are a 9-point favorite. 9.5-point favorite.
9-point favorite. 9-point favorite at home over the Bengals. Let's go, chop, chop.
I'll take that.
You'll take the Packers?
Yes, I'll take the Packers.
Okay.
Yes.
Pittsburgh giving up 7.5 over Chicago.
I'll take that, too.
You'll take giving
Pittsburgh
up
was pretty impressive.
And finally, the Miami Dolphins at a 6.5-point favorite versus the New York Jets in MetLife Stadium.
Why did I... Wait a minute. Who did they pick? Who did...
Doesn't matter. Keep going.
Well, wait a minute. Who did the... Never mind. The Dolphins,
Dolphins, Jets.
How many points again?
6.5. Let's go.
I think that's safe. I'll take your Dolphins this time with that.
You think the Dolphins will cover?
Yes.
You're a wonderful human being. All right, so let's see. Ed's going to take my choices this week. And again, these are for entertainment purposes only. This is demonstration on how the point system works. I'm happy to explain it to anybody that's got a dollar or two. So we're going to start off with Kansas City, 3.5-point favorites over the LA Chargers. They got whooped by my Dolphins last week. I'm taking Kansas City and giving up 3.5 points.
I think Kansas City's going to be a safe bet for a few weeks, to tell you the truth. They're looking good.
I'm taking your Vikings giving up 1.5 against those fearsome Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And finally, my lock of the week, my bet the ranch, sell the deed to the farm, gather up all the relatives and empty their pockets, take every shekel you own, and for entertainment purposes only, put it all on Oakland at Washington. Oakland giving up 3.5 points. Thank you very much. I will be here all week. So to recap, John's taking the Dolphins, the Packers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. While I am taking Kansas City, Oakland, and those decrepit Vikings. Even without Sam Bradford, I have more faith in your home team than you do.
I hate to say it, that's true.
Is Ed versus the spread for this week? Good luck out there.
You know, I think we're both going to do good this week because some of these picks seem like they're actually pretty safe, to tell you the truth.
That's what they all say. Ask anybody who's ever lost a house gambling. They'll tell you how safe their picks were.
Well,
that was fun. That killed a couple of minutes.
Yes, it sure did. Well, what do you think? You think we should talk a little Trumpy here? We haven't picked up.
No, we haven't. By the way, folks, I just want to remind everybody that 2 weeks ago I was running for my effing life from Hurricane Irma. And it's driving around. I just give me a minute. Let me do a minute on this. Since I got back into town, I got back that Tuesday night and Wednesday was driving around. And the damage here in Broward County was not bad. Trees down, billboards blown out, very, very cosmetic. Nothing. It was actually, it reminded me of what we looked like after Hurricane Andrew way back in the day. The eye of that hit further south. We got banged up, but not horribly. Unfortunately, the power situation has been crazy. There's still people without power, and we've made massive improvements. But that being said, I want to give kudos to Governor Rick Scott. A man I don't agree with on most issues, but that man stepped up and guided this state through one of the most difficult periods it will ever have to face. Bear in mind, Irma was, it appeared that Irma was going to come straight up the spine of the state and like a giant eraser, take out the entire state, the entire peninsula. We were facing pure catastrophe. I mean, on a scale that, you know, rivals the poor people in, look at Puerto Rico right now. Yeah. They got not one but two storms back to back. That's the scenario that you hope and pray never happens. So, I want to give a big, big round of applause to Governor Rick Scott because I felt, you know, he was giving me what I needed. I want to give a big round of applause to the Broward County EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, Dade County, Palm Beach, all up and down the state, Georgia, and into South Carolina. These folks busted their butts. All the utility crews out here, and they're still out here. I'm seeing them from as far away as Nevada. Good for them. You know, everybody's worked to get things back up. So we're back in business here in Broward County. The Keys are going to take a little longer. And Naples, the West Coast, unfortunately, they're going to take a little longer. But, you know, I'm fortunate right now that I'm able to sit here in my my friend's condo with air conditioning that he refuses to use. And that's rant number five.
Oh, my goodness.
And Rick, speaking of Rick Scott, that's going to bring me right into President Dumbshit. Because in the same situation, I don't feel that he is a leader I can turn to and be comforted by. George Bush, while not a fan, but after September 11th, he was my president. I felt that I could follow him. He had the people in mind. He was concerned about the people. I don't believe that this lump of Cheez-It could do it. He doesn't even recognize his own wife half the time. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, no, that's all right. Totally understandable.
That's right. I am allowed to talk like that, aren't I?
Yes, you sure are. This is America. You can talk any way you want.
But AM radio station, I'll talk any way I want.
Well, this is true too. But okay, so let's go.
It's good to be the king.
Let's go to this war of words between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. Now,
yes, I missed a lot of that, by the way.
You know, we don't have to rehash what the hell those two said to each other.
What is it, Dottard?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to rehash it, but you know what these two are doing? They look like they are cutting simultaneous WWE promos from across the ocean. That they do. They sound like two fucking wrestlers, two WWE wrestlers. And it doesn't surprise me coming from Trump, because for whatever reason, Trump's big into that shit. I don't know if you've ever seen the video from...
I've seen it.
You've seen the...
We've all seen it.
Where he clotheslines Vince McMahon.
Yes.
I really honestly think...
Because none of that was staged. That's all sports entertainment.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well, that's my point in this, is that was sports entertainment. You've got millions of people's lives on the line with this little tirade that both of you are going into. And, you know, the thing is we expect that kind of shit from North Korea. We shouldn't have to expect that from Donald Trump. I'm sorry. Yes, I think we are better than that in this country. You know, and when you outwardly start talking or saying you're going to destroy North Korea, you sound like John Cena saying you're going to destroy Roman Reigns. That's exactly what it sounds like. And after a while, you know, nobody's going to take you seriously. And you just, well, nobody really takes you seriously anyways, except for the fact that you have the fucking, your finger on the nuclear button.
It's got it on something.
Yeah.
He's got it on something.
This is scarier than it needs to be, because you basically have two lunatics, trading barbs, and eventually they're not going to be trading barbs. They're going to be trading nuclear missiles, and you're going to wind up losing millions of lives. So I understand what happens in North Korea. You speak out against your leader, you get taken out to the back 40 and executed. I get that. But God damn it, we need to... I have no doubt whatsoever that we have the military capability to wipe North Korea off the map. I have no doubt about that. Do you? Do you have any doubt
Absolutely
about that?
Absolutely not. No. But that's 25 million people who are not in this fight.
Well, yes, I totally get that. My point in that is I also think that, quite frankly, we have the ability to shoot down an incoming missile from North Korea. So I think that while this is if these two actually started going into a hot war, I think that while lives would be lost, I think that we would come out on top with it. I just don't want to get to that point. I don't want to see. Yeah.
I agree with you. We'd come out on top, but at what cost?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to be left with?
No, I don't want to see any dead North Koreans over this. I don't have a beef
with
them.
Well, just one.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just
but
the one.
I don't have a problem with the North Korean people. And quite frankly, I don't think the North Korean people should have anything, you know, should have, if they were fed the truth, would have anything against the United States. And I think that...
They'd all want to be here.
Mm. You see, there's a difference between this and the Cold War with the Soviets. You know, we were with the Cold War. You heard Ronald Reagan call the Soviets an evil empire. Okay, but that was pretty much the gist of it. And there was always little sessions where, you know, when Reagan visited the Soviet Union, when Nixon went to China. Before that, you know, we have always had those opportunities of what they called détente. I don't see that happening in this situation whatsoever.
No.
So.
Because it's who's got the bigger Kim Jong-dong. You know, that's what they're looking at here. And by the way, to King Coons, I see your message on Facebook. Not really sure what it means, but... it's a little late in the show. If you wanted to call in, that's great. But anyway, thanks. I appreciate you listening. I see your
what
post
did he
up
say?
There.
What did he, can you give me a synopsis of what he said?
It says last 10 minutes XYZ.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I know what that means, but But again, Ken, we appreciate you listening. So anyway, yeah. Okay, so to sum up, Trump's a dick. Kim Jong, whatever his name is a dick. I just read a great quote about John Kelly, the chief of staff.
Yes.
You'd have better luck trying to tie a polecat's tail in a knot and putting it in his ass than getting John Kelly to change his mind or do the right wrong thing.
You mean get Donald Trump to change his mind?
No, John Kelly.
Oh, okay.
I wish I had the exact quote, but
okay.
Anyway, it was a lot funnier in my head and when I read it. So I take that back. I could probably just go on a rant just to cover that up, or I can blame the mainstream media, the fake media. That's what it was, the fake media. That was actually from Chuck Todd, a big part of the fake media. My God, they're so phony. They're so phony they don't even exist, for goodness sake. My God, out there telling the truth and digging and finding facts. The nerve of these people. Yeah. Who the hell do they think they are? The hell? Leave us alone. I prefer living in a lie.
Exactly.
I don't know about you, but in my world, the sky is plaid, and I just like it that way. And that's how it's going to stay. That's how I want it to stay.
So what do you think we talk goodness. A little bit about healthcare here before the end of the show here? Okay, so the Republicans.
I'm sick of healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sick just, of healthcare. Get it.
It just went over my head. Bad. Oh, okay.
Get your glasses. All right, in the 2 minutes or so we have left.
Well, here's the thing. One of the, of course,
I love John McCain.
Yes, yes. Yes, indeed.
I totally agree. He did it again. Thank goodness. He's a man that comes to his senses and, he's a man that spent 5.5 years in a cage. He's had plenty of time to think. He knows how to put his thoughts in order. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Trump should be jailed just for disrespecting that man.
Yeah.
But healthcare is a mess. We know this. We know whatever's coming down the pike is going to be, it's going to cost people. Not people in Congress, not the Senate, because their healthcare is paid for and all that. But it's the little schlubs like you and I.
Well,
and
here's the thing. Okay, so I saw a tweet here back a couple of days ago where apparently President Trump blocked a woman with stage 4 cancer on Twitter.
I watched her video.
Did you?
I watched that. Yes, I did.
First off,
he's a scumbag. He's a scumbag.
It's funny. I consider being blocked by. I wish Donald Trump would block me, to tell you the truth. I have been on him just as bad as other people, but I would consider that a badge of honor, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
let's be real here, people, for a minute. The only reason that these Republicans want to repeal Obamacare and replace it with whatever hocus pocus bullshit they think they're going to do, they're going to replace it with. I'm sorry. I'm so pissed off about that. I forgot what I was going to say in the end with that. But I know what I was going
to
say.
What you have to do right now, don't you?
It's the fact that it was our last president who happened to be black.
No. Let's share the screen.
Oh, yeah. Let me do that real quick here. Folks.
Sorry, folks. That's technical issues. It's big time professional radio.
Yes, it is indeed.
I hope soon I'll be back in control, but I don't have a real internet connection. I'm lucky to be on the air at all at this point.
Who's lucky?
Well, there you go. And there is the burning question. But I've got Gil Christ beside me, and
yeah. Anyways, so folks,
I don't hear anything.
I did already.
Do it again. Attaboy.
Yeah. I don't know why that didn't work. but it didn't work automatically, I should say.
Lower it a little bit more so we can... Attaboy.
It's funny because I still hear it loud enough, but... Anyways, what do you say?
You're cutting it out for me, John, but... Are you there with me, buddy?
I'm here. Remember your internet connection.
I'm going to say goodbye because I'm losing you. So have a good week, folks, and see ya.
See ya.